Hussein, you'll live forever.
In our hearts and in our minds.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين ولعن الله أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We started our sessions in an attempt to talk about or highlight some of the attributes that are undiscussed or under-discussed when we are trying to dissect and gain lessons from the personality of Imam Hussein, from the movement of Karbala, so that we can better ourselves, so that we can reach the goal of our creation, which is the perfection. And you can only reach perfection by following the perfect guide and by understanding the lessons that perfect guide has tried to give to you or give us through his life, through his actions, through his speeches. And in our yesterday's session, we talked about one of the attributes which is often seen missing from the Khawas and the Awam, the elites and the general public. And that factor was of Basira. In today's session, we will try to dissect or understand this another attribute, which is by far one of the most important attributes of Imam Hussein's personality. It was so important that the movement of Karbala, the movement of Imam Hussein, can very well be named after this particular attribute. It was so important that the slogan of Shias and Karbala is after this attribute. And that is of Hayhat Minnatullah. The respect, Izzah. Izzah is something which is innate in mankind. Izzah is something that any sane person wants to have that, strives to maintain that. Now, there are different categories of Izzah. One is Izzah, what we call it in English, the right Izzah, and the other one is false Izzah. False Izzah is something which we would often see. False respect is something that we would often see people going after, whether in form of money, whether in form of fame, whether in form of pleasing the elite so that they can get Izzah or they can get respect. Some are respected because of their academics, some are respected because of their because of the degrees that they possess, because of the position that they have. These are all forms of false respect. Anyone who is going after respect based on these particular things and many others of the like are going after false Izzah. Does that mean that we should not respect a scientist? No, that does not mean that. But does that mean that we should respect the scientist because of the fact that he is a scientist and because of the fact that he has earned a degree of PhD in working in NASA, for example? No, because it was the scientists who came up with nuclear bomb that became the tool of the destruction of hundreds of thousands of people. a weapon which can really impact humanity, not only of that generation, but generations to come. So am I supposed to respect that scientist who came up with this discovery? No. Because this is against the concept of Izza that we are talking about. The source of all the Izza, the source of all the respect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see, we are going to make comparisons on how Imam Hussein's movement is directly linked with the Izza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions that man kana yuridu al-izza falillahi izzatu jamia. Whoever is looking to gain some respect, whoever wants to get respect, know this, that all the respect lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I'm going after respect, if I'm going after Izza for non-divine nature, that will be known as false Izza, false respect. And if I am going after Izza because that Izza is directly linked with the respect that Allah possesses, then it will be known as the right Izza, the true Izza, the true respect. Imam Hussein was not willing to give up that Izza and accept what is the opposite of respect, is humiliation. Hence, when given the option between sword and getting submitted to someone who was non-divine, yet apparently he had might, he had power, he had army, he chose sword and said that Izza or disrespect, that Zilla is far away from us. Zilla is far away from the likes of Imam Hussein, from Holy Family, and for those who are the followers. Now, what is Zilla? Imam Ali mentions that anyone who tries to gain respect from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that this is disrespect or humiliation. And another hadith, Imam Ali states that anyone who respects his own nafs, who has respect, who has izza for his own nafs, for his own soul, he would never humiliate his soul by indulging in sins. When you are very cautious about the true respect, about the true izza, you will never succumb to humiliation. You will never indulge in sins. What are sins? Sins, the muharramat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are humiliation. Why is it that most of the things, or most of the sins that we start off with, God forbid, that human beings start off with, they always initiate them in solitude? Because there is embarrassment in it. There is humiliation in it. You think about any sin that is out there. You want to hide it from the masses. In the beginning, of course, when you oppress your nafs so much, you tend to become immune from that feeling of humiliation. Why is it that when you're lying or when someone is lying, they don't want their lies to be exposed? Because they know there's humiliation in it. Backbiting. You're talking about someone behind their back. You don't want that person to know that you've said those things about them. And you're always in fear that maybe you will be exposed. And hence, consequently, there will be humiliation. You talk about even the hijab issue. In the beginning, it is innate. You feel shameful in the beginning if, God forbid, somebody was to remove their hijab. Then, of course, with time, they become immune to it because they have oppressed their soul so much. So all the sins start off with humiliation, and that is part and parcel of indulging in sin, that you are humiliated, you feel humiliated, and it's humiliation, it's dhillah. So, izzah is something which is going after the source of all the respect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dhillah is something which is the absence of it. Anyone who has izzah, anyone who is connected with the source of izzah, of all the izzah, they will never submit, or they will never give up. They will never be willing to accept defeat in any of their causes. But someone who does not have izzah, they quickly lay down their weapons when they're faced with calamity, and hence accept the defeat. Consequently, those with izzah will always be victorious, and those without izzah, those who are humiliated, who are ready to be, who are ready to give up or submit in front of sins, they are definitely lacking this particular attribute. It says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ عِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And those who are trying, who take kuffar as their friends, as their wali, as their guardian, without the believers or without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they looking for ayyabtahuna indahum izzah? Are they looking for izzah within them? All the izzah, all the respect is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. when we look at Imam Hussein's journey, this is one thing that he was extremely cautious about. He did not even want to give an impression that he, for a minute second, he would be willing and he would be ready to accept the law. It was all about, and it was, and again, keeping in mind, there's a difference between respect and ego. There's a difference between self-respect and ego. Again, the izzah is, if it's for my own, just to feed my own nafs, just to feed my own ego, that would be considered nafs parasti. That would be considered worshipping of self. But if all the attempts and all the energies are being vested in order to restore your izzah so that you are representing Islam on the Islamic values, and if it's connected with the real izzah, which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course that's the izzah that we're talking about. So one thing that we know during Imam Hussein's journey, what did Yazid want? He wanted Imam Hussein to pay allegiance. What would have happened if Imam Hussein would have paid allegiance to Yazid? What would have happened if Imam Hussein would have stayed, say, completely indifferent about it? At the end, all Imam, and why was it that for Yazid it was important to gain Imam Hussein's endorsement? He wanted to bring izzah towards his reign. He believed that getting Imam Hussein's allegiance will legitimize his rule. That is a value of those who are directly connected with the izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when we are talking about Imam Hussein, he could not have just sat in the masjid and give allegiance. He could not have been indifferent about it. He had to fight. He had to do the uprising because he wanted to restore the izzah. He wanted to restore that izzah for Islam. That's why when he was being warned about the betrayal of Kufians, did he not know what will happen? How the Kufians will react? Did he not see what they had done to his brother, Imam Hassan alayhi salam? Did he not know what they did to Imam Ali alayhi salam, to a point Imam Ali was tired of them? According to scholars, that there was a point that Imam Ali said, paraphrasing, "What is it that I have done that I have gotten people like you?" And it is mentioned in history where Imam Ali, towards the end, prayed that may they get someone, and again paraphrasing, may they get someone that they deserve. That's how much they had teased Imam Ali So Imam Hussein knew that what was going to happen with the Kufians. But yet, it was, as mentioned yesterday, to implement the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussein mentioned that when you have a ruler like Yazid, who is fajr, who is fasiq, who is corrupt, doing all, making the muharramat of Islam, making the haram of Islam as halal and halal of Islam as haram, then it is for Muslims, for true believers, to get up and oppose that, to stop the ruler from doing such thing. As when we talk about our practical, our day-to-day life, how is that missing? Apparently, everybody respects each other. And I'll start off with very basic level, addressing to the youth, of course. And oftentimes, in the smallest, in the trivial of the matters, in the trivial matters, we lose that sense of respect. The most common thing that has been witnessed is, especially when we are joking with each other, in the kind of jokes that we make towards each other, it is a standard now that if they are not geared towards humiliating someone, then it's not really a joke. It's not really funny. It becomes really funny when you make a joke that would embarrass somebody, that would humiliate another person, another woman. And you say that we're just joking. Another reason that you come across with, oh, I am joking with him by using derogatory terms, and he's okay with it. He doesn't mind. Question, would you make said jokes in the presence of our Imam? And for the most part, we know that what we will be doing in the presence of our Imam and what we won't be doing in the presence of Imam. Humiliating another woman is no joke. Even if he's not getting offended, if it's derogatory in nature, fi ذاته, fi نفسه, like it, we know what's derogatory and what's not. Then where is respect in that? The respect is not only for Allah and Rasul, but also for the mu'mineen, for the believers. Allah says in Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Respect for the believers. Where's our respect for the believers? We find something about someone, we are quick to spread it. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Quran? لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. Spreading the sin, spreading the bad deed at times is worse than the sin itself. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like for the bad things to be spread out from your words. Respect. Well, do you not want us to joke? No, of course, Amir al-Mu'minin has known about him. He would make jokes, but the jokes that should be the aim of those jokes should be to make the believers happy, not to humiliate them, not to disrespect them. It's no joke when you are joking with someone, with a believer, and everybody else is laughing, and this person himself is embarrassed. That's small on a very basic level that we see happening all the time. Then we go a little farther. We are quick to spread the word that would bring humiliation for a believer. If you have seen someone committing an act of sin, is it wajib upon you to start going around and start gossiping about it? Whereas we know that when we see a believer involved in sin, we are supposed to give 70 probabilities that maybe it wasn't him, maybe he was doing something else, before coming to the conclusion that yes, he was involved in sin. And what do you know? Maybe that person, after committing that sin, has repented and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven that person. Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves repenters. How can I tarnish someone's image by talking about his bad deeds in front of people? If I had seen a believer, God forbid, committing an act which he was not supposed to, maybe he has repented. He didn't have to make confession in front of you. He didn't have to make confession in front of anyone. It's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there are some exceptions. There are exceptions. So if someone is coming to me and asking me that, okay, well, this particular person wants to get married to this particular girl, you know, and what do you know about this person? Even at that time, being very careful, understanding and trying to comprehend the situation, that if the person is still indulged in that act of sin or not, rather than just tarnishing someone's image. And we are very quick when it comes to judging others. But when it's to ourselves, our own selves, we are the strongest of our defense lawyer. We are wakil. We are the biggest wakil of ourselves. Whereas it should be the other way around. We should be defending the reputation of our believers rather than tarnishing their image. It's extremely important, my brothers and sisters, that we understand that if we are not going to be cautious about izzah, about respect in small matters, we will definitely not be able to resist when it comes to important affairs, more important affairs. Do we not see the condition of the Muslim world? How they are trying to look for izzah in the sources in front of people that can maybe grant them might, a little bit of might for the time being, but then later on they will be humiliated. We have seen examples over and over and over again in history, in contemporary world. those who did not submit to, who did not humiliate themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got humiliated in this world. The only existence we can, we should, and we have to be humiliated in front of, we have to be dhaleel, we have to be humble, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's the source of all the izzah. Once you start feeling humiliated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when the world is going to start respecting you. We have a figure in history who did not pay allegiance to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He did not pay allegiance to Amir al-Mu'mineen because of his own ego, because of lack of basira. But then, years down the line, when that oppressor by the name of Hajjaj Yusuf al-Sakhafi, and Hajjaj Thaqafi came to power, this very person, the way he paid allegiance to this oppressor was in the darkness of night. He came and he kissed on this oppressor's toe because he was so intimidated. He was so scared. One who does not have respect. One who does not have respect for the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not humble before the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is bound to face humiliation in this world and hereafter. Those who depended upon the enemies of Allah, you see what has happened to them. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that we are living in such an era where things are becoming clearer for us as the time is passing by. When we are talking about tarnishing the image of the believers, unfortunately, we tend to believe in what those people are saying about the believers who have nothing to do with beliefs. This is nothing but utter humiliation, that you would rather believe those who are spreading rumors about Islam, who are spreading rumors about the believers, then taking your time out and asking your believer brother that, you know, what has happened, if this person, whatever they are saying, is it true or not? We are quick to make verdicts. We should be the critical of the judges of our own actions through self-reflection, through muhasabah, but we should be extremely generous. We are commanded to be optimistic about our believers, not pessimistic. Those who depended upon anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who thought that they can get a little bit of respect by aligning with the enemies of Allah, their fate was humiliated in this world by those that they took awliyah. الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أولياء من دون المؤمنين. We have seen over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those who take shaitan as their wali. فَقَدْ خَسِرًا خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. They are definitely in loss فَقَدْ ظَلَّ ظَلَالٌ بَعِيدًا. They are definitely humiliated. And what does Shaitan want? This is also mentioned in the Quran. يُرِيدُ يُدِلَّهُمْ ظَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. He wants to zalil, he wants to humiliate them. Who? Those يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَحْتَكِ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَ أَنْ تَحَ اللهم صلي على محمد وعلى محمد. يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ عَمِرَ أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. They take طاغوت, they take the transgressors as someone who would judge between them, someone who has some word of authority over them. This is all causes of dhillah for those who are trying to take the shayateen as their wali, as their guardian. When we again try to learn lessons from Imam Hussain, know this, that every time you are going to divert away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are bound to face humiliation. The path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not seem like something which will take you towards victory in this world. But know this, in this world and in the hereafter, you're promised victory. Nobody could have thought what a small group of believers, depending, completely relying on Allah's help, can achieve in this world. But they indeed became power to be reckoned with. Before your mind goes elsewhere, I'm talking about the 313 soldiers of early Islam. They were small in numbers. Nobody would have thought that they would overcome those kuffar with limited amount of weapons. They didn't have anything. They were in Zilla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ ذِلَّةٌ كُنْتُمْ ذِلَّةٌ. You were humiliated. You thought that you would not be able to achieve anything. But because they depended on the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believed in the wali's promise, they were able to overcome the invincible army of Quraysh. Quraysh was invincible at the time. And hence, because their reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were able to defeat them, they were able to humiliate them. If we cannot learn the lesson of Izzah from the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, then we are definitely at loss. If we are not able to respect our believers, our mu'mineen, our brothers, our sisters, if we are not able to defend their izzah, then we are definitely at loss. It is mentioned that hurmat of mu'min, the respect of mu'min, holds more weight than Hurmat of Kaaba, respect of House of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how important and how easily we tarnish that under the pretext of quote unquote joking, under the pretext of, well, I'm just trying to warn people about this person. Yes, warning is good, but let's just not get personal. Under the pretext of, you know, protecting other believers from the quote-unquote danger of this person, you're being personal, you're attacking him, his family. It's not the ways that mu'mineen are supposed to act. And this is truly a grave problem that we have in our communities, that we tend to ignore a lot of things, including an important aspect of moments is under the umbrella of joking. It was the lack of respect that made Kufis turn their back over and over again. They turned their backs on Imam Ali. They turned their backs on Imam Hassan. And they turned their back on Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein knew. He wanted respectful companions. He wanted those who were truly the manifestation of Hayyat min Nazillah. And hence, from time and time again, he kept asking his companions that they are after my blood. You want to go? I take my allegiance away from you. You can go. He did not want anyone to be pressured to be on the other side of Imam Hussein. The event of the night of Ashura, you have heard multiple times. As we are trying to make it relevant, the lessons from Imam Hussein, let's try to make some relevance, though we cannot even imagine what those companions must have been feeling, how joyous they would have been to be dying on the side of Imam Hussein. But try to make some relevance. We are living in the time of quarantine. We are living in the time of pandemic. A night before Ashura, Imam Hussein told his companions that whoever wants to go, I take my allegiance out away from you. I lift my allegiance up from you. You can go take one of my family members along with you. Which means that you will still be granted heaven for assisting me up until this point. You're good to go. For those companions, it wasn't about hereafter. It wasn't about the mentions in Jannah. For them, the Jannah was to be lying in their own pool of blood alongside of Imam Hussein. How can we make it relevant? At the time of pandemic, attending the majalis of Imam Hussein is not wajib, it's not obligatory upon you. Let's say, for example, Imam Hussein tells you that you don't have to attend my majalis, you don't have to listen to the musibah, you don't have to shed tears. What will you say?
Oh, I'm off the law. It's already hard enough for us that due to this pandemic, our ways to get to you and Karbala have been limited. Please don't take this away from us. Can you imagine Imam Hussein telling you not to attend his majalis? Can you imagine Imam Hussein telling you that, okay, you'll be fine, just, you know, you don't have to come to majalis, you don't have to shed tears for me. What will we do with that Jannah? What will we do with that heaven if we are not alongside of Imam Hussein? This is what the companions of Imam Hussein were going through. That's why they made those statements. They made those statements that if we were to come back 1,000 times, if we were to kill 1,000 times, if we were to get killed 1,000 times, we would come back and we would still be alongside of you. If our bodies are burned and thrown ashes, we will still, and if we are allowed to come back, we will still do the same. Oh, Abdullah, please do not take this away from us. We can make it relevant how hard it must have been for Abbas to hear his Mawla telling him, you don't have to be here.
May Allah's land be upon the oppressors. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of Imam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among Imam's supporters, those who will aid him in his spreading justice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Imam, to protect deputy of Imam Khamenei, to protect the revered scholars, especially Sayyid Ali Sistani. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the sanctity of holy shrines. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the izzah, to protect the respect of our believers, brothers and sisters, to restore the respect of Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.